you'll start noticing at a lot of places everything's being distributed, and after Sunday it'll really start moving. A lot of it we're giving away or selling if someone's has value to someone else. And we were in our staff meeting, and we really had prayer, and visions were coming. Diana saw the Lord going through this entire facility singing and rejoicing over the things that he had done and had been done and been given. And it was like, not like a sadness, but like a gladness. And we were talking along, and I saw that where the Lord had received our works, and he was collecting it. You know, things of God never dissipate. They just remain until their time for manifestation. So if something is not finished in a setting, like say we move from one house to another in our life, and we thought all this was happening in this house, all we have to do is go to the road of Emmaus, which we read, I think it was yesterday, and you start to see that, no, our hope can get pretty fixed. And the Lord can always say, wait a minute, you're getting caught up in a fixed hope that no longer fits in the circumstances, but let's look at the scripture and talk about me. And once Jesus opens the scripture to any of us at any time about himself, we soon begin to see that nothing has been lost, and everything that has been lost is so we could gain Christ. And some of the things we lose that are of value to us are not to be considered, oh, if that only could have kept that. It's actually to be considered rubbish so that we can gain Christ and go, I'm found in him without any righteousness. He found me there too. He undid that. So anyway, we're having a really, really powerful meeting, and then we're talking about the basics. Everyone's, Brian and Diana and Rose, the whole staff has just been incredible. They've walked as long with this, listening, waiting on the Lord. And when we all began, we had the faith that God was going to do a new generation work. That it was like from Moses to Joshua. When Moses was a recipient of the law, he got the schematics for the tabernacle. He set in order the tribes. He got it all, and it was all funneling through him. But all of a sudden, Joshua's on the line, and it's not about a man now. It's about an ark, and it's about a priesthood, and it's about tribes, and it's about allotments and inheritance, and it's a season of everyone coming into their inheritance. And I thought what Brian shared on Sunday was so good about the treasure that everybody's carrying. And this is now the season that treasure is going to be released. And I think the parks is the first just stepping out and opening doors of community, not just within our house, but to the community we live in, and bringing friends and watching our hope and dream is that by September we'll be beginning small groups in all these cities. And we've got the format. It's perfect. The Jesus encounters, taking the scriptures we're reading and then gathering around what we read, discuss, and hear, and discover the Jesus in our midst inside the scriptures that we've been submitting to and the Holy Spirit coming upon. So that's a loose idea. But Brian and Diana have been setting things in order, and we were talking details, and then you can't get into the conversation of moving until you hit soon the idea that started off with, we have a whole lot of lights we got to disconnect, and we'd like to take and put them up appropriately for the smaller space. And we got a PA system that we have to untangle. In fact, this evening they're taking a smaller board and cleaning it, wiping it so that it can be a fresh board to use while we then take this larger board and do the very same maintenance that it needs. And they're doing that after we just finished worship. So we're talking about that, and then we're talking about, well, we've got monitors, we've got the internet, we've got the Wi-Fi. Brian had tried to get the Wi-Fi changed this coming Monday, and then realized, well, we still have a podcast to film on Tuesday, and the healing rooms are going to do their last meeting on Tuesday. But then he got a text that said, oh, we'll be coming on the 11th. And so every time we're just doing what we can do, God just keeps doing what he said he would do. And it's been perfect. The person who put these beautiful lights up right up front, highly technical, and Diane had found to Homeschool Network. She'd been trying to reach him for off and on for the last few years for different reasons, and he never answered his phone. And Brian and Diana were talking, just were sharing this at our staff meeting, and Brian said, well, we've got to find out how to undo this so we can then put it back together. And he said, why don't you just call him? He said, well, he never answers the phone. She calls and he answers the phone. And he says, no, I'm now in Reno, but I've got my partner and he will be able to do that. Then while we do the memorial service for one of our church sons that we grew up in our church congregation, David Duda, one of his dear friends is connected to them. And so it was like all of a sudden you keep seeing the Lord moving and collecting and all the dots and connecting all the loose ends, the things that are being given away that are blessing congregations and families. So we're talking about the lights, and that's got us on the lights. And you know, because what do? You just clip the cables, or do you pull all the cables out? And then, you know, you bump a computer and it stops working. I know you guys have experienced that. Just something jars. So I was saying, we've really got to pray now. This is really important to get this technical stuff. Besides, we've got to get the whole congregation to the place. And all of a sudden, the Lord said to me, here's your prayer assignment for your Wednesdays and for all those who carry intercession, is to see all of Jubilee cross over the Jordan into this new season. And immediately I was taken to Joshua 3 and Joshua 4. And I knew, this is an illustration of, I think, what we're going to see happen as we go into this new season of inheritance and of coming into taking possession of our inheritance. And what is our inheritance? It's in Christ. It's our calling, identity. It's God's riches, glory. It's His purpose in us. It's everything that comes into that perfect man and that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So I'm looking forward to a cross-the-board activations, as well as people and ourselves, myself, coming into that, oh, now we're taking possession. Because prior to that, there was no taking possession except the 2.5 tribes that had some good victories, and so there was a setup of the beginning of the possession on the other side of the Jordan. So when the tabernacle stopped moving, the Levites, who had been responsible to take it down, put it up, and help with the priest, they became the worshipers. They became, David recruited them, gave them instruments, gave them songs. That's where we get the Psalms. And they were the singers. They were to play the instruments. And the priests, though, retained one role that never was transferred. That was the blowing of the trumpets. Because that blowing of the trumpet is a picture of intercession, to gain God's attention, to see that God's blessing comes to what is being asked. And so priests, for me, have always been the intercession of the church. Worship has always been the adoration of the Lord in the church. And the two together become perfect. And as we see in 2 Chronicles 5, when the temple is being dedicated by Solomon, that the singers began to sing, the instruments began to play, they all became one sound. Trumpeters, 120 trumpets blaring. And it says, when they all became one, then the glory of the Lord came in and filled the whole temple, and no one could stand up, no one could continue ministry. So I want to read Joshua chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 1. And I want to make some quick illustration. So this is what I believe is a strategy. I'll tell you it up front. I think the strategy is for intercession to take on the priestly role of better agreement, more focused on our prayer, for the moving of all of Jubilee across the Jordan into the promise to secure it. And how that happened here, it wasn't now by a rod. It wasn't by a man. It wasn't like holding a rod while the east wind blew. It was by the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant and stepping into the Jordan. And when they stepped into the Jordan, the water pushed itself back into a big heap all as far as the city called Adam, which doesn't take a lot of imagination to see that what God can do is he can undo and push back everything all the way to the first Adam. But they stood, they went into the center, and they held the Ark. So now it wasn't a man, it was a priesthood, and it was the Ark of the Covenant, which was Moses, got the Ten Commandments, but that's not the Ark of the Covenant we carry. The Ark of the Covenant we carry, the covenant of the first covenant, was of the written in stone. It brought death and condemnation, according to 2 Corinthians 3. The new covenant is the Spirit that brings life and righteousness. So now picture, rather than poles on our shoulders and a box between four men, we are a priesthood carrying Holy Spirit and bringing that restraining power. That's what one of the things is referred to of Holy Spirit's work, is he's a restrainer. Restrain the circumstances from overwhelming. The Jordan was flooding, and letting that presence make a path for everybody to get to the site and all our stuff. So all of a sudden I'm waking up, I'm going, this is our assignment. We've got to, we'll meet at 8. That's when the lobby opens, so it's an easy way up to the new building, and we'll go till 4. And every Wednesday at 11:30, we'll take a focus time for an hour of teaching on intercession. Because we've been talking about that prevailing prayer. The key of prayer is to get results. Answered prayer is what brings Father glory. So we're moving from some prayers that become conversational, talking, how do I feel? But we're not really, there's a place where we lock in and we know, okay, I am an assignment to see this prayer. Now our simple assignment is all of Jubilee cross the Jordan into the promised land, position where they're supposed to be so that we can go forward into this, coming into this new season of apprehending. So here is Joshua. He's just starting, and he says, he rose early. They had gotten a good report from the spies. They knew Jericho was frightened and it was theirs, but this, now we're going to act it out. So Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out for Achaia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. It was after 3 days, so they're packed, and this is all happening in a course of about 5 days, 4 or 5 days from the beginning of the march to the Passover they'll celebrate. But after 3 days, the officers went through the camp. I believe you're going to begin to sense the Lord calling forth, and you're going to hear the voice of the Lord in Brian and in Diana and in one another, of saying, it's time, we're taking our place, we're going to take our possession, let's get in step. And so they go through the camp and they say, they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. So not a man now. They're being led by what would be for our equivalent by Holy Spirit. But he's being carried, or he's upon a priesthood, which I believe in every way you look at it, today's equivalent is intercession. The ministering to the Lord, the standing in the gap, the making a way for God's people to get into the place that maybe they wouldn't be able to get in if we neglected prayer. To stop the enemy from taking advantage, from creating, stopping confusion, from overwhelming with the flood, and just technical difficulty so that everything doesn't, you know, comes in one piece. So he says, but now watch, he says, when you see the Ark. So, okay, when you see the Ark, then you're going to begin to take off, and you're supposed to go after it. So that, I believe, is beginning immediately, but it will the first public gathering in the new place will be prayer. And every place in our 40-year history that we've ever occupied, the first thing we did was pray. First public meeting we've ever had in every new place is a prayer meeting. So when you see the Ark, then go after it. yet there shall be a space between you and it of about 2,000 cubits by measure. A cubic is about 18 inches, a foot and a half. So 3,000 feet, half of a mile. So imagine what a half a mile. The ark had to be far enough away that everybody of the 2 million Jews, the 600,000 army, could go and, I see it's going there. Let's all move. But you had to, couldn't just crowd it out, or only a few. But because he says, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. See, we're not just getting a new building, a new season. We're going into a new place. You've never been here before. I'm thoroughly expecting to go into a place that I've never been before, in Christ, in our relationships as family, in God's assignment in our communities. But the ark's the key. The Holy Spirit's the key. The intercession. And that's what God was always looking for, intercessors. So he had to finally send his son to be the intercessor, because he could never find him, so that he could bring about the work that he wanted versus the work that the devil was trying to bring about in lives. So he says, don't come near it, you may know the way by which you go. You have not passed this way before. And so Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sunday, please join me in prayer this next 3 days and say, Lord, prepare our hearts to release, to be sanctified, to be commissioned, to take communion, to let go, to have hands laid. Prepare us to go forward, that we might come into your wonders among us. So Joshua said to the priests, now he's talking to the priesthood, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. So I believe for all of us who will take up the mantle of prayer to move all of Jubilee from here to there, not physically only, but into the new season, that there's a picking up, there's a mantling of Holy Spirit. And he says, they went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I'll begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. But Joshua is going to be a different leader. He's not the one that's out there doing it. He's actually the one facilitating the doing of it within all that God raised up in the wilderness through Moses and the tabernacle. So you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. So again, not the law, but the Spirit. Not to death, but to life. Not condemnation, but righteousness. He command the priests to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, you shall come to the edge of the water. Verse 8, and that's the water of the Jordan, and you'll still stand in the Jordan. So I'm going to go to verse 9 now, Kelly. So he says, come up. You guys are going to, we've got an overflowing river. There were no dams back in those days. If you go to the Israel and you go to that same area of the Jordan, it's just a stream. But that wasn't so back in the harvest season. This is Passover. This is spring. It's rain. There were no dams. So it was a good overflowing. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. God always speaks what he's going to do before he does what he's going to do. So those of you who have ears to hear what the Lord is saying. He wants us who hear him to come and bear his presence, stand before him, and see a miracle of letting God transition everyone into their future and to bring across the Jordan on dry ground. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. So think of the living Word of God, the Holy Spirit, embodied in people that are carrying it in inner prayer, and they come and say, okay, Lord, we're going to stand in the midst of this crossing over, and we're going to go right into the middle of it. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters from shall come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. And this was miles up. So I say, thus says the Lord, as we step into our mantle of priestly intercession in this month of July, we'll not only see the adversity of circumstances pushed back and a path to cross over, but we'll see all of the other beginnings of Israel coming into taking possession of the land that then follow in the next two or three chapters. It's as soon as your sole of your foot. So if you can join us from 8 to 4, come one of the out watches, 11:30 to 12:30, I'm going to do focused messages on this is what God's saying we need to see happen. This is what he's saying to stand in, and having done all to stand and grow this, because as soon as their soles and their foot, so they had to go and step into the water. They're carrying God, his covenant, the ark, but they are the ones that have to step in the water. And it says, it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water. For the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. And I can understand by seeing the depth of the river bed that had been created over centuries, an overflowing stream river would have been pretty intense. Like, oh, what happens if I... Well, as soon as they touched it, for the waters which came down from the upstream, they stood still. It's like a miracle of, and rose up in a heap. So they stopped moving, rose up in a heap, like the parting of the Red Sea, but now it's just become a goddamn. He just brought it up and held it in place. Very far away at Adam, which is the city of Adam. I like that. Pushing back the history, the movement, the fact Jesus is the last Adam has undid all of the consequence of Adam and sins followed. And it stood still very far away at Adam and the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. Now, remember, to use your thoughts and imaginations of your heart, I want you to imagine something supernatural is going to start taking place in our lives to cross over into promise, into fulfillment, into what God's doing. And not looking for just like, oh, can we hopefully move things and not break anything? Or hopefully everybody can find us who want to on the next day. We also have people, this Sunday sending, there's going to be people, God says, okay, you now to go here and do that. You're to join that church. Or you have an assignment to go and begin. The sending is a releasing of all. It's just like forgiveness. You release all. It's a new beginning in all of our commitments, and all commitments are fulfilled. And therefore, we can forgive all offenses, all losses, all currents. It's going to be it's going to be the experience of redemption this Sunday. It says, see, because we're adopted by the will of God and the work of God in Christ, through Christ, into sonship. And that makes us accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1. But then it comes up and says, and in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Redemption and adoption are two different experiences in our journey in Jesus. Adoption is the new birth, being born from above. Well, I can see Jesus. I understand what has happened. I can hear his voice. There's something that's taken place inside of me. Redemption is what follows the journey of life Because I don't know if anybody here has succeeded in having been saved, live saved, without making massive mistakes or being overwhelmed or overrun or losing our place. It's just, that's redemption. God put it to me this way a bunch of years ago. He said, you do not redeem slaves. You buy and sell slaves. I bought you out of slavery. I brought you into sonship. You redeem sons, ransom sons. And so all of a sudden, there's this redemption through your blood. What is the blood? It's the forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin that goes all, every direction, from God to us, from us toward God, where we may have aught with him. How did I get here? How did you let this happen? All the things. And from us to each other, so that there, because of the level of prayer of forgiveness we do this way, is the level of forgiveness we experience this way. So that power of redemption is going to be the door opener to cross over, because they already now are in covenant people. Now they're going to come into, I just believe, they expect liberty, expect a new beginning, expect giving everyone else new beginnings, expect removing obstacles and just a fresh place. If I've learned anything in my journey with Jesus, is the only thing that I have every day is I get to return to him and experience complete oneness because of Jesus Christ and him alone. Total forgiveness, total union and communion. I can take the word being spoken by Holy Spirit can become substance that I can fellowship and expect and anticipate. And it's vibrant. It's the abiding mindset. And the abiding is how prayers are answered. So he goes on and says, then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. So that's going to take, a few weeks of transition, but it can also just take one day for the person who makes it across. But it's a process. And I'll tell you some of the other things that God did with Israel to prepare them to go into the inheritance in a second. But let's go on down to chapter 4, because I am convinced, and you'll join with me if you can't come to the new facility, but what a place to go and begin to say, Lord, this is now the new inhabitation. We want your Holy Spirit to dwell. We want you to forgive the sins that have occurred in this building in any way and every way. We want to sanctify it. We want to anoint it. We want to take communion. So Sunday we're sanctifying ourselves and separating ourselves back to the Christ and into redemption, forgiveness to go forward. Then we're going to be occupying a body and declaring, Lord, we're here now standing in agreement so that all of your people, because just a priesthood, just a group of men holding an ark, priest around them, standing in the middle of the, and just holding it. They're not exercising any, big, they're just carriers. See, we're carriers, and we're just going to let God that we carry begin to make a way for us and do it for everyone, not just get a few over, and that's, I got myself and my family, I'm good. No, we're going to hold that place of intercession. May all come across, may all come into their next inheritance. So he said then, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe. Verse 2, now verse 3, please. And command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan. A dry Jordan, big old stones that I can envision on the shoulder of these 12 men. Each one has one. They're one of every tribe. And it says, and then from the place where the priest stood, so just go right where the miracle is happening, grab them and carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging. So where you're going to camp on the other side of the Jordan, where you lodge tonight. And Joshua called the 12 men who he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, each one of you, and take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time coming, saying, what does these stones mean? See, beginning Monday, beginning now, but beginning Wednesday when we have our first prayer meeting, we're going to be in a miracle. And we're going to have ways of remembering the miracle that we can tell back. There was something. We thought we were doing this, but God was doing that. We thought it might be good if we could get on this level. God was taking us here. This means the same way he took us out of Egypt, which was out of slavery, now he's taking us into inheritance, which is out of the season of being humbled in the wilderness and learning the ways of God and the word of God. So then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant, verse 7, and when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, as it's a memorial for the children of Israel. And they were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial for the children of Israel. So a place to go back and go, out there we had a miracle, and that's a sign of what God's going to do for us from this point on. So the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they carried them over to the place where they lodged and laid them there. Then Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. And there they are to this day. So out of the middle of Jordan to the place they laid, and he piled them up into a memorial. And the people hurried across and crossed over. Verse 11. Then it came to pass that the people had completely crossed over. So I'm commissioning you as kings and priests. I'm commissioning you to carry the ark, the glory of the Holy Spirit, to make a path that he will make the way, Jesus, to bring everybody across. And I think right now, just this group and those online, and then those who will join us, and we just say, well, we're not the scouting party. We're the ones who are bringing the crossover to come along to the other side. So they completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. So now everybody's on the other side. Now, okay, we're closing. We're going to walk to where the people are. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. And about on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight. And they feared him like they did Moses. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, to Joshua, saying, command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony, we who will carry Holy Spirit and stand in the midst of circumstances that would be uncrossable, and watch God make a path and a way for everyone. He says, now tell them to bear the testimony to come up from the Jordan. So Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come up from the Jordan. So God was very much speaking to Joshua. The priests were obeying their role of carrying the ark. Now God's saying to tell Joshua, tell him to come up. I believe there'll be a definitive sense. Okay, the cross, we've made the initial cross. This is the first step into inheritance. And it came to pass when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Hallelujah. A miracle. Now, I don't know. There's no reason God isn't going to do a miracle like that, of that caliber, for the sons and daughters of his kingdom and who he's gathering, he's sending out. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry ground. And the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we crossed over. Now, in today's, they'd have bridges. You'd be able to get across the Jordan. It's not about that the miracle itself was so, it was a phenomenal miracle, but it was the fact that all movement should be in God. And Rosie, who's so full of faith, she's going, God's moving, God's moving. We're on the move. It's God who's moving. He's the one moving us, and he's the one involved in our being moved. So he's the one making it supernatural. So expect supernatural help. Expect God's unction. Expect his revelation, his vision to get a hold of, oh, wow, I see where we are. Now, not everybody's going to get it all. That doesn't. He raised a priesthood. He raised a group of intercessors. At times of Israel's history, it's recorded in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. So I looked for one man. And I want to teach us, I want us to practice more of the kind of intercession that says, okay, we have a few assignments ahead of us, and we're not going to stop until they're fulfilled. And I believe we're going to have a focus on this new season of coming into inheritance, especially in the first part of these important junctures of shift and responsibility that's going to be spread to the whole congregation. And then we'll begin to see the taking of cities, which I think going to the park is going to be a part of the taking of the cities. Why not believe for more? The Lord told us, he says, I'm going to take you in. You're going to get smaller so you can get larger. I'm taking you through a narrow place so that I can bring you into the broad place. So the tightness we'll feel at first is to open the possibility of everybody stepping up into their new place. At my place, I'm going to continue to do what I've always done. I'm going to give myself to prayer and the ministry of the word, but I'm not going to be the one trying to set the vision of how we're doing that. That's going to be Brian, Diana, and who are going to be saying, okay, this is how what God's now telling us to do, because they're helping us as a congregation to come into the apprehension of promise. And I think, especially right now, I was renewed. My job is to gather a group of intercessors who says, we're going to make sure it happens. We're going to pray it through. We're going to get to the other side. We're going to get direct. See, if we have specific prayers with specific prayer requests that are not our requests, but God tells us to pray this prayer and hold that prayer until that prayer happens, you will grow immensely in your own relationship with the Lord, but we'll also begin to become much more effective in being able to navigate with on God's behalf into the future. So he said, they did this, crossed over, as the Lord your God did for, no, back up, verse 23, I hadn't finished, as the Lord God did to the Red Sea when he dried up before us until we crossed over. So two crossings, two different miracles. One is out of slavery, and now one is into promise. That all the people on the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that they may fear the Lord your God forever. Okay, next verse or next chapter. Couple more moments and then we're going to pray, because it gets going pretty quick. We're talking about they crossed over on the 10th day. So the kings, the Amorites, the west, the Jordan, the kings, the Canaanites, when they heard the Lord had dried up the waters before us, they'd crossed over, their hearts melted. I believe there's time for enemies that have stood and opposed us are going to lose all courage to hold their place because of what God's doing amongst his people. Why not? Right? Why not him, the those who occupy our inheritance, who've said, I'm not leaving, all of a sudden they lose their place. There's no spirit in them. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, I don't really want to bring this up, but I do believe one of the first things that happened is a whole shift of the heart. He said, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself. And I think he gave it to the Levites to help and 600,000 army and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And for this reason, why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they'd come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised. But all the people born in the wilderness on the way out as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. There are seasons of transition, life, learning, listening, that covenant positions are not maintained or observed. So we know, everybody be happy, and ladies, you get to be included in this. We're now talking about the circumcision of the heart. That our heart become believing, come out of hardness, come out of unforgiveness, come out of its disobedience, come out of its refusal. And that is with the Word of God, not a flint knife. And I believe there's is going to be a time and should be a time. I want that time to happen to me. I want to have a new heart. I want the stony heart to be taken out. I want a heart of flesh. I want to soften my heart so I can hear and go forward. Because all this is just changing locations so far, all that's happened, but it's been miraculous, but it's not, it's just the foundation. Now that they're in the promised land, first thing is heart circumcision. So the children of Israel had walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people of men of war had come out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show the land that the Lord had sworn their fathers, that they would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised the sons whom he raised up in their place, for they were circumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And so it was when he had finished circumcising all the people. That was a day. That was a big service. Probably was the craziest men's service anybody ever went to. They stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. And there's stuff when hearts start to get worked by the Spirit with the Word of God and separating thoughts and tensions. There can be a real contrition. It can be a real conviction of sin. It can be a real releasing of unforgiveness, a repenting out of disobedience. It can have an effect that comes to the other side of healing and wholeness, where instead of just kind of like, oh, I don't know why, don't ever, you start to be convicted. There's something that God's pressing toward. He wants to take and remove, or he wants it to be brought out to surface, to be confessed. And that can be a difficult time. But the healing is when you pray through, and all of a sudden, now the liberty comes, and the joy comes, and the refreshing comes. And this is what was happening. And so the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to that day." So I'm looking for reproach to be rolled away. Stigmas. Things that were left upon you and me through the last season that have to now come off because that has been resolved and the hearts have been made new. But now the children of Israel camped at Gilgal and they kept the Passover on the 14th day. Crossed over on the 10th. I bet the 11th was the circumcision party. 12th, 13th, 4 days later, boom. It's Passover. And so it's an observance. It's a holy day. It's Passover, not the Passover got them out of slavery. It's a Passover now that's getting them into the promised land. It's happening rapidly. May it happen. May July be filled with surprises and movement. May we move with the Lord as he moves. And they ate. Oh, watch this. They were there. They did on the 14th at twilight, and then they ate of the produce of the land that day. A season was really closing. And after the Passover, they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, the 15th day, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. So now they're producing, they're functioning. And then the manna ceased. So being cared for by God, never have, I have to just gather and pick it up. Now it's like, okay, time to start possessing. Time to start doing the work that God's going to cause to increase. And the children of Israel said they no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked. Last thing. So now he's, all of a sudden he sees a man stood opposite with him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Continue on, verse 14. He said, "No." I love the way God answers. I'm for my purpose. "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come now. Now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Now the instructions start getting specific. And the Lord, commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandal of your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. So as Moses was to bring them out of slavery and establish them in the law and in the worship of the tabernacle and all that set up, and then walk with them for 40 years as humility was being brought, as learning to listen to the voice of the Lord, as heart motives were being revealed. Now here's Joshua, and he's before the Lord in the same setting, because he's now being given the instruction on how they're going to take the first city. And it's going to be unorthodox, but it's going to be done in such a powerful, unanimous way. See, now everything that's happening with Israel is because of the corporate body following the directive of the Lord, versus a few, like the focus of Moses giving the law, or the focus of the priesthood getting how to move the tabernacle, set it up, take it down, or the tribes or where they camp. This is now total, everyone's coming in. Manna stopped, circumcision has been completed, hearts are healed. There's a recognition that a miracle's taken place, and now the instructions will come. So how many, would you join me in agreeing that God would do that for Jubilee, for every household? Take us across and then deal with the sanctification of the heart, the cleansing of our heart. Would you be willing for the Lord to come to you? You know, the Bible says that we can depart from God with an evil heart of unbelief. Hearts can get filled with unbelief, and an unbelieving heart gets very difficult to follow the Lord when he says go. A hard heart. In the Welsh revival, which was in the midst of the church, it was not amongst the unsaved, soon came in, but it started with the church. And the call of the church was, bend the church, bend us so we might save the world. And what it was that was commonly experienced that the Holy Spirit worked on were two primary things: the sins of disobedience, the not obeying, where we've refused the Lord's lead, we've said no, you can't have it, just things that have been there in place, and unforgiveness. And when those would be confessed, there could be an agony. I don't know if you've ever been in a moment where you think, "Hey, I'm doing my part, and I'm totally okay. The issues are not me; it's somewhere else outside." And then somehow the Lord gets a hold of you and says, "No, the issue's you." And all of a sudden, I'm not complaining about anybody. I'm now on my face before the Lord, going, "I don't have an issue with anybody but you. And you haven't me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned. Against you," that's what David said, after a myriad of sins against people. But he said, "No, it's all against you. Therefore, you are just when you speak and blameless when you judge." I try to keep that prayer before the Lord every day. I used to think, "Oh gosh, I just can't handle you correcting me." Now I say, "Lord, do it. Whenever you speak, I want you to speak to me. I want you to speak to me. You're just when you speak. So if you speak, you're going to speak justice to me. You're going to deal with it as it is, not the way I see it. And you're blameless when you judge. So when you begin to bring me through a series of change or demand of realignment, you're blameless. And you say, well, how would that be for us today? Well, it's this communion. What we'll talk about tomorrow, on Sunday. He said, if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. But if we are judged by the Lord, it is so that we will not be condemned with the world. Judgment in the church is always correction. You're wandering over here. Now get over here. You know, you didn't hear my voice. I got to get more attention. But, oh, may it happen. May he get a hold of our hearts. Don't, it's not, he only disciplines sons. Without discipline, we're not a son. And if we are a son, we're being disciplined to partake of his holiness. So I'm anticipating, and then when that circumcision takes place, when the heart is refreshed, then what brought the blessing down, when people prayed through, they became aware, there's an area that I have sinned, or I've refused, or I've said no to the Lord forever, made an excuse, told him he couldn't. Now all of a sudden I'm confronted by the Spirit of God that this is indeed something that I need to take responsibility. It was me who did that, not someone else. And this unforgiveness, Lord, I need to release. I've got people, I've gotten locked up over this, that. I forgive, I got to release, I got to. You say, well, then you're praying that through. On the other side, what brought the blessing down was prompt obedience to the Spirit. So rather than all of a sudden now the Spirit says, this is what you need to do. Step it up. Write that letter. Make that phone call. Step into this obedience here. Prompt obedience to the Spirit and open confession of Christ. So people would begin to say, the Lord has done a marvelous work inside of me. I was here, now I'm here. This is what he's done for me. And that kind of testimony of what I have now experienced. And I was reading that, the Welsh Revival, and I was reminded of, right after Easter, the scripture the Lord had given in Acts chapter 3, the last verse, when he said, to you first, he's speaking to the Jews in Jerusalem, devout believers looking for Messiah, to you first, God has sent his son. God has sent his son whom he raised from the dead to bless you in turning everyone away from his iniquity. And I keep going, Lord, I know that the sensitivity, the freedom, the prompt obedience, I want to be there so that we can then walk with you. So can you agree with me tonight for that? Be willing if the Lord prompts and moves. Lord God, we just ask as a house of Jubilee, but now as a priesthood in the sanctuary, online, those who will catch up with us online. Lord, we wouldn't qualify ourselves through our actions as priests, but because the Lord has stirred us up and brought us here and saved us and has commissioned us to be a household of priests and a priesthood of kings, we say, Lord, here am I, send me. And like Isaiah, undo me. So I'm in a fresh new place. Lord, may we step into a miracle of you moving things to bring forth a clear path for all of Jubilee to come in across the Jordan and all our stuff that are sound systems, computers of communications, media, lighting, all of these things could transfer. And all the complexity of people who are thinking this or feeling that or what do I do? I don't know where. May there be a turning everyone away so we can go, oh, this is no longer needful. I must let it go and come into the blessing. May this blessing be in the circumcision of our hearts. And may this blessing be in the healing that we can testify, the coming through, the glorious encounter with the living, risen Savior, glorified Christ. And may, Lord, this season now be to inheritance. And may you, the commander of the Lord's army, come to lead forth your victory. We praise you. We praise you. Move on every heart in jubilee that's still pondering, wondering, where I don't know what this even means, or caught up in the opinions of man. May everyone begin to feel the sanctify. I've got to get myself right before God. I've got to quicken myself, get back into Scripture. I've got to read. I've got to pray. I've got to be ready. We're all going across. It's all time. I want to be in my place. Lord, let that stirring go by your Spirit. We are holding the presence of Holy Spirit now until this crossing over is fully brought forth. And we bless you for the miracles we're going to hear and the records of the movement of hearts being changed and freshed and ready to go into the next season. We thank you for this and we glorify you. Thank you for this sanctuary that we've had Wednesday services in for 37 years, and you've blessed in so many marvelous ways. We close the sanctuary. You have served us well. You helped us to disciple, to train, and in these last 2 years to pray and do more intercession. Now, Lord, we look to the Sunday. May it be a day of sanctification, ready to cross. May there be a real deep work of Holy Spirit. Deep, freeing, releasing, realigning, coming into, and may massive forgiveness flow and debts be canceled in every way, not just willfully and willingly, but powerfully by Spirit and blood and the Redeemer himself, Jesus, walking in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Blessing. Thank you, guys. Will you take this and carry it in prayer, please? Just carry it before you. You are the priest. Pick up that Holy Spirit be on you and hold your place. It can be anywhere by yourself. And then Wednesday, if you can join, we're going to watch the Lord do a miracle. Let's be a part of that. What it would have been like to be the priest standing there. I mean, it'd be great to cross over, but the priests, they would have had a story to tell. So I'll see you in the middle of the Jordan. Blessing.